morning.
It is 11, well, it's 5 till 11. I'm a little early. I want to make sure that everything was working right. I'd like to welcome you to our online service this morning. And due to a possible exposure of COVID-19 in our church, we've elected to cancel our indoor services until we have more information about what's going on. We do want to thank you for joining us as we've come here this morning. I'm in here, this large auditorium, all by myself. I don't know if you can hear the echo or not, but it is really, really different here. But I wanted to do it here. We had our video equipment set up and everything ready to go down here. So hopefully we're able to bring a message from the Word of God this morning. We will indeed be... Oops, there the door blew open. Sorry, I'll be right back. Wow, that was weird. Our side door blew open. I don't know whether it was somebody, maybe we got angels here. I don't know. But it's weird. It did blow open. And I want to make sure we're live here this morning. Yep, yeah, we're working. So we see Joan watching and Ed and Holly, some others watching. We thank you for being here this morning. And hopefully we'll continue to, if the doors don't fly open anymore. I know it's windy outside, but that was just really weird that that happened. So I want to welcome all of you with us this morning. We're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation. We're doing a fairly short study on this book, I think. I'm not sure how long it'll take us, but we've been looking at certain things concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ and what John was told to write us and to reveal what God had shown him. So, like I said, it's good to have you with us this morning. And I want to remember to pray for all those on our prayer list, pray for our church, and we're awaiting some results on some tests from some folks that were possibly exposed. So for now, we're not holding any indoor services, as I said earlier. So let's first of all go to the Lord in prayer and try to gather our thoughts this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings upon us, and Lord, for the technology that we're able to continue to spread the gospel, even in the absence of indoor services. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you would bless those that are sick, those aren't feeling well this morning, and Lord, just lift them up. We ask you to bless our services today. We ask you to watch over those that are unable to be with us even online. And Lord, we pray for them. Go with us through this service today, this message. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. In the book of the Revelation, we want to look at Chapter 4, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the Revelation, and we'll be looking at this passage for a moment here. And chapter 4, verse 1 says, "After this I beheld, and behold, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And John continues, he says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed with white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." The thing I want to look at this morning is the rainbow and the symbols that it represents. There was a rainbow in after Noah's flood when God destroyed the world with the waters of his wrath upon the world. In the book of Genesis, we see that. And that in his fierce anger, he promised Noah that he would never do so again. He would never destroy the world again with a worldwide flood. He made a covenant with Noah by which he assured him that he would never destroy the world with a flood. And he made this covenant, and as a perpetual reminder, most of you know this this story. As a perpetual reminder, continual reminder of that covenant, God set a rainbow in the sky. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 9, and verse 11, it says, "And I shall establish my covenant with you," speaking to Noah, "neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." So the bow and the cloud, excuse me, were told in chapter 9 and verse 16, "And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah," verse 17, "this is the token of a covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." The message God gives here is indeed very clear. Since the days of Noah, the rainbow has stood as a perpetual reminder of God's covenant, because he declares in the book of Isaiah in chapter 54, And as we're turning there, I remember, and perhaps I've said this before, that my mom, that was the first Bible story I ever was told, was about the rainbow in the cloud. It had rained, and we looked upon it. The sun, it was raining in one area of the sky, and then the sun came out, and there was this rainbow. And at that time, my mom told me about this story of God's promise to Noah. And there in the Isaiah 54, chapter 54 of Isaiah, verse 9 and 10, he says, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me." And he says, "For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." So it shows God's peace and God's mercy shown in the token there of the rainbow and the promise, the covenant that he made with Noah. And since the days of Noah, the rainbow has been that perpetual reminder of God's covenant. And then in Ezekiel, we're told in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, in verse 28, We're told that as God describes his vision, as Ezekiel is shown a vision of God's glory, and he tells us that he saw a rainbow, which was indeed a symbol of the covenant. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, "And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." So you understand that when Ezekiel saw this vision of the rainbow, and when the Apostle John, as we read a moment ago, when John was given the revelation of God's sovereignty there on the throne, of his glory, he tells us that he saw a rainbow, and that symbol of the covenant of God that was encircling God's throne. And the throne, I believe, is a symbol of God's glory. It's a symbol of God's sovereignty. That throne is a symbol of his almighty power. He is ruler. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. The throne that we read of is a symbol of that. And I believe the rainbow, with abundant scripture, that shows us that rainbow around about the throne of God, is a symbol of the covenant of grace. It's a symbol of that everlasting covenant. And John Gill wrote, and I agree with him, that the rainbow is a reverberation or a reflection of the beams of the sun upon a thin, watery cloud. And the covenant of grace is owing to Jesus Christ, the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. So I have no doubt that Christ is God's covenant. As a matter of fact, it is Christ who made the covenant for us with the Father. It is Christ who fills that covenant with all the blessings of grace. Christ is the mediator, he's the surety, and he is the messenger of that covenant that God made. And in the Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, John draws a picture of Jesus Christ as one with a cloud having a rainbow having a rainbow upon his head. In 10, verse 1, says, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven," in Revelation 10, 1, "clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." So this is a vision of what John saw of Jesus Christ. And we see the Father said to his Son, and this is probably more than what we need to know, or more than what we need to prove what I'm saying, is the fact that God said to his only Son in Isaiah 49 and verse 8, verse 7 and 8, says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit desolate heritages." In Isaiah 49:13, he says, "Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted." Did you hear what God said there? Said that anyone on earth, anyone who looks upon that rainbow, anyone who gazes upon that rainbow that is that God puts in the clouds, in the sky, they have that promise that God would never destroy him in a flood. When you look upon that rainbow, you have the promise that God will never destroy you in a worldwide flood, even as, and even that promise was even to the cursed and to the sinner and to non-believer. But if a sinner would hear and would hear at the very outset of this message, I want every soul to hear this, that if you will look to Christ, the Lord God himself declares that he will not destroy you in the wrath, in the flood of his wrath. If you would look to Christ, that he will save you, and that by his omnipotent grace. And in Isaiah again, in chapter 45, look at Isaiah 45, verse 22. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." So as we look upon that rainbow, and we see, we think of God's promise to never destroy the earth again with a flood, we can also look upon that rainbow and think of God's everlasting covenant that is in Jesus Christ. And those who look upon him and look to him, and that for salvation, repenting of their sins, they indeed will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is what this is telling us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is yours. The covenant of God's grace and all the blessings of grace and all the blessings of salvation and the eternal life is promised in that covenant, and it's made sure to your soul. Bible says very clearly, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. So I want you to get that right off the bat here, to understand as you look at the rainbow, and it is indeed an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing, and it can be something that reminds us of God and of his promises and of his word and his covenant promises, his everlasting covenant. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is yours. I want to show you some things about this covenant, this promise that God made. And first of all, I believe, and foremost, perhaps at least five things I want to show you. We won't have time all this morning, but we'll continue this, Lord willing, this afternoon. Or this evening, the rainbow is an emblem of mercy and peace. You see that emblem of the covenant of grace and the rainbows that we see spread before us in all its colors. We see brilliantly those colors remind us. They should remind us of God's promises, the fullness of his promises, all the colors of the spectrum, the rainbow. And I understand there are colors that are there that are that cannot be seen by the human eye. There are parts of that bow that is invisible to the human eye. So is the covenant of grace. There are things that God has stored up for us that are invisible, that we don't quite see yet. We actually know very little about heaven and all the glory there. So we understand that this is an emblem or a symbol of God's covenant. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 31, it says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And he said in 31, in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inner parts. And he says, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God. And they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more. And then in chapter 32 of Jeremiah, we read on, it says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And in the book of Hebrews, the New Testament speaks of the same thing in chapter 8. And then in chapter 10 of Hebrews, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their head, hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So this, the rainbow, we need to realize when God points these things out and he shows us in his word that this is just a reminder of his mercy and his grace toward us. This covenant of grace was made, was made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, even before the world was made. So the rainbow just pointed to that in Noah's day. This is the everlasting covenant of grace, no doubt. And it is the salvation of God's elect was agreed upon there before the world began, because Jesus Christ was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And you read the grace, he says in Job, then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom. Jesus Christ is our substitute. He died for our sins according to the covenant of God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And he says on there, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we have scripture after scripture speaking of the mercy and the grace of God. And I believe that the very first point of this rainbow, the very first thing we see is that it is indeed an emblem of God's mercy. You read the 89th Psalm. You can read Job 33. You can read let's read 2 Timothy together. Chapter 1 says, who has saved us? Jesus Christ, speaking of God, and God speaking of his Son, has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, he says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You understand what Peter said also in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We understand that in due time, this covenant of grace made in God's eternal purpose, it was ratified, it was fulfilled, and in that by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the place of his people, in Hebrews chapter 9. And the blessings of this promise, the promises of the covenant, the blessings of that, it was sealed in the hearts of God's elect by the Holy Spirit. You know that you're a child of God. You know that by the unction of the Holy Spirit that he died for you. In the Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, there in chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And he says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So it's the covenant of grace. And the function of the law is as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We're saved by grace and not by works. So we read in the Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So as the rainbow, listen, is an emblem of mercy, peace, and reconciliation in God towards man, after he had destroyed the world by the flood, so the covenant of grace is a covenant of mercy and peace. Because it comes from God's mercy, it is full of God's mercy, and it provides abundant mercy, it provides peace and reconciliation for sinners, and all that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, secondly, the security, the covenant, the rainbow round about the throne is an emblem of the security. The rainbow is the security of the world. When God set his bow in the sky, he promised that he would never again destroy the world and that by a flood. And as God's covenant, it is God's covenant that holds back the hand of his justice. It is God's covenant that holds back the hand of his justice. It is his covenant that keeps him from destroying the earth and all of its inhabitants. Had it not been for the covenant of grace, God would have destroyed the human race when Adam sinned in the garden. He would have brought an end to it all if God was not a graceful God and a merciful God. And if it were not for that same covenant, that unalterable, unchangeable covenant, God would not allow the wicked to live one day. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, his elect, his chosen, the believers, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then chapter 3, verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given him, hath written unto you. So above all else, it is that firm and everlasting covenant of grace that secures the eternal salvation of God's elect, of every believer. It is his word and his promise that he made, that he cannot break. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. So we believe in eternal security because we believe in an immutability of God's covenant. We believe that God cannot lie, that God promised to save those who believe through Jesus Christ and save those who believe in him and receive him as their Savior, those who repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ, he promised to save them. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's God's promise. That is the covenant of God in a nutshell. And we believe that God will honor his covenant and that God will keep his covenant. And God's faithfulness to his covenant is not in any way dependent upon the faithfulness of his people. We are weak and feeble. We don't always do what we should. We don't always live as we should. And you remember what we read back in Genesis 9:16. Said, the Lord God said, the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's upon the earth. So his covenant with us is in Christ has direct bearing upon all the earth. And we see that in Hosea chapter 2, verse 18, what a wonderful prophecy that is. Says, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. That same promise that he made, the New Testament version of that is he worketh, we know that all things work together, all things living, all things inanimate, all things in the world work together. Everything that, when he says all things here, I believe he means all things in Romans 8:28. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God can make that promise, and that promise that God made, that covenant he made, gives us security. In the Psalms, he says in Psalms 89:28, my mercy will keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. In 89 verse 34, he says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is going out of my lips. In Ezekiel chapter 16, he says in verse 60, nevertheless I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant, that then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. He says, and I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So we understand very clearly that that rainbow is an emblem of God's mercy, and it is an emblem of security because of what God has done in these things. We notice also very quickly that rainbow, that covenant, that rainbow was around about the throne. A circle, a complete, no beginning, no end. And in that, it encompasses God's throne. God's throne is here, the rainbow is around about the throne. And remember, the throne is the emblem of God's sovereignty. Remember, the throne is the emblem of his dominion, his power. And the rainbow round about the throne then tells us that God's sovereignty is bound, it's hedged about, and limited by his covenant. So in other words, God cannot and will not do anything contrary to or inconsistent with his covenant. But that rainbow round about, God has bound himself to that covenant. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 13, says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a priest, high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So we see that rainbow encompasses the throne of God. And there are three facts about this rainbow. And the fact is, it's a covenant of grace. It completely encircles the throne of God, and it shows us at least three blessed facts: that God is always mindful of his covenant. He cannot look in any direction away from his throne, forward, to the sides, or to the back, and not see the rainbow. He sees it wherever he looks. He's always mindful of his covenant, of his promise. The psalmist said he will ever be mindful of his covenant. Psalms 115, verse 5. No matter which way he turns, no matter where he goes or what he does, he's always mindful of his covenant. He constantly remembers it, and that for the good of his people. He faithfully keeps his covenant no matter how he comes to his people. He comes to us by way of the covenant. No matter what God does, he is fulfilling his covenant. The things that are going on in our life right now, and this world is a crazy, mixed up place with the pandemic and the confusion and the problems that are going on with that, and the different, you just don't know who to listen to sometimes. You don't know what is going on. You look at our nation, more divided than ever before. And you wonder, how can any of this be for our good? You have to remember the three Hebrew children, as they would not bow down to that idol that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar. And they went to them and said, you know, in Daniel chapter 3, you know, if you don't bow down to this image, we're going to toss you into the burning fiery furnace. And they weren't careful. They answered him right away. They didn't have to think about it. They said, you know, our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. But if not, and they knew God was good, and whatever happened was for their good. Because they said, but if not, he doesn't see fit to deliver us from this fiery furnace, O King, he will deliver us from your hand. So God is indeed a good God, and he works all things out for the good of his people because of this blessed covenant that he made. And then the fact that this rainbow encircles the throne also suggests that no man can come to God except through that covenant. Strip the throne of this rainbow, and there is the august, sparkling majesty of God, who is a consuming fire, which no man dare approach. But that same throne, encircled with a rainbow, is inviting. We're invited to approach the throne of God boldly, not brashly, but boldly through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is that covenant. And then when we approach the throne of God by the blood of Christ, we may be able to, we may do so in full assurance of faith. One, there's a door open there in heaven, and sinners on earth are bidden come up hither, bidden by him who sits upon that throne. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and like and sight like unto an emerald. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the book of Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. You know, we cannot draw near God with our works. We cannot draw near God with a strange fire of our own religious deeds and sacrifices. But beloved, we can draw near God on the basis of that covenant, pleading the merits of Christ, his righteousness. As the old song goes, the double cure. He has made me, he has ended my wrath, he has ended God's wrath, he's made me pure by his blood and by his righteousness. We come to God in the covenant name of Jesus Christ. That's the password to God's throne. We pray in Christ's name, we worship in Christ's name, and we're saved in the name of Christ. And the fact that this rainbow encircles the throne tells us that God's government of this world is determined by and in exact agreement with the covenant of grace. All things working together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Even this pandemic, and even if we get sick and we are having to distance ourselves and wear masks and the things that the scientists, the doctors recommend, even those things are for our good. We pray that God would enable us to look more in faith to him, to consider his graciousness and his goodness and his mercy. And the next time it rains and there's a storm, after the storm, the sun comes up, you see the rainbow, remember God's grace. Remember his covenant. May God bless you. Lord, thank you once again for this time together to consider some of the things concerning your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We pray that this message would be a blessing, and Lord, that we might indeed worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in Christ's name we pray.